I'll say it again to remind us. Okay, let's begin. Shua. Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitir. Okay, so what we were discussing in Shir from where we're catching up to in Chazar Shirim is a comment on the Gemara's distinction between the different categories of Dayanos. Okay, so the Gemara on Daf Beis to Daf Gimel has a chiluk between the different categories. The Gemara assumes, for whatever reason, whether it's the Reis or Drabanan, that you need Gimel Mumchin for Gzeilos v'Chavalos. For Hodos v'Havalos, you could suffice with Hedyotos. Okay, so one of the questions that we're trying to explore, independent of the Gzeiros HaKasav of Erev Parshios or etc., is why is there this distinction between the categories? Okay. And secondly, shifting the question over one degree, even after we make the takana or we have that distinction, once we recognize that we don't have mumchen anymore, so we're willing to invoke a takana of shlichusayhu to allow hegiotos to dan gzeilos v'chavalos, but we're not willing to invoke shlichusayhu for a category of kenasos. Okay, so we have to explain this double distinction. A, even when you have smuchen, we distinguish between hodos v'chavalos on the one hand. Hodos v'chavalos, you could suffice with hegiotos. B, even once we don't have smicha anymore, we have a takan of shlichu sayu, which allows us to dan gzeilos v'chavalos, but it doesn't allow us to dan knasos. Okay, so how do we explain the distinction between these categories? So the simple pshat, just taking the shakavitari at face value, is that it's really a concern in the efficiency of the process of batei din. Right, if you have a problem of tinel delos bifnei lovin, right, if you have courts available so people will still lend money, once you don't have mumchen as available, so now you need a takana of kadesh lo tinel delos bifnei lovin. Okay, so it's a very pragmatic concern for which we override the din of mumchen for hodos v'avos. Okay, and similarly, with regard to shlichusayu, the concern seems to simply be whether is it something that shchiach, is there hefsid mamon. In most cases of kenasos, it's lo shchiach and there's no hefsid mamon, so we're not willing to invoke shlichusayu. Okay, so from the straightforward reading of the Gemara, both of these questions have pragmatic answers. Okay, you have a question already.
Yeah, just when you say mumchen and then you interchange with smuchen, you're assuming
the same, right? Yeah, right now. Na mumchen l'rabim, stam mumchen, the Rishonim assume is samach. Okay. Another explanation is posed by the Ran. Okay, the Ran is trying to address the question why prior to Erev Parshios we wouldn't be able to rely on Mishpat Echad Yelochem to export Mumchin from Gzeilos v'Chavalos to Hodos v'Havos. And the Ran just says that the level of the expertise of the Dayanim is proportionate to the severity of the din. Okay, and in particular, he says that Gzeilos v'Chavalos bo Mumchin haynu machmas chomer hadin aval Hodos v'Havos de keli lo hav lo hava be'inan mumchen. Okay, so the distinction prior to Erev Parshios is based on the chumra versus kula of the din. Gzeilos v'chavalos, which are severe, you require mumchen, you need expert judges. Hodos v'chavalos, which are kal, you don't need it. Now, it's ambiguous whether the Ran is referring to severity in terms of the ramifications. The ramifications of a din of gzeilos v'chavalos are more severe than the ramifications of hodos v'chavalos. Okay. Or he simply means that the category is more intricate. Right, it's more complicated, so you need more expert judges. Okay, but at least we know for the Ran, the distinction is between Chumras Adin versus Kalos Adin. A third approach to explaining this distinction was how we were approaching it in Shir, and that's to suggest that the mechanics of what Bezin is doing in each scenario is like halachically different. Okay. And we'll outline this in a second, but basically you could talk about Hodos v'Havos simply being a category of Hischaivos Midas. There you have, at least on the surface, you have consent of the party who's obligated. It's volitional. He was Mechayev himself. So Bezin doesn't have to create any new reality. Bezin simply enforcing a reality that was agreed upon between the two parties. When it comes to cases of Gzeilos v'Chavalos, or especially cases of Knasos, there seems to be no antecedent de facto reality. There's no obligation which exists between the parties prior to Bezin's intervention. Bezin has to create the whole category and impose it. Okay, so you can actually distinguish between the kind of involvement that Beis Din has in what they're trying to create in this case. Okay? That's the approach that we're suggesting in Shir. And what follows is an analysis trying to demonstrate this distinction between the different categories of halacha. The first category is that of hischaivos midas, and on the surface we're suggesting that all cases of hodos v'havos are cases of hischaivos midas, okay, of consent. Where do we see in halacha that this category is treated differently? So here this raya already is brought by the Rav, quoted in Shir, it's also in the Shirei HaRav, on Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Bava Kama, I think on Daf Ayin, the Gemara says that Esna and Asra Torah, Afilu Baal Imo, right, if you give schar for bia to a woman, so that schar is asr to be brought as a karban. The Gemara says that even if you give this schar to your mother, okay, so you had bia with your mother, you give her the schar of the esnan, that esnan is asr for a karban. So the question is, why is this asr? Shouldn't this be a classic case of kamei bedrab mine? You're chayiv misa al tzarayus, so you should only be chayiv misa, and that should exempt you from any piron which you agreed upon between yourselves. Right? You agreed to pay her this animal in exchange for the bia. You should be exempt from that piron because of the chiyav misa. So Rashi in Bava Metzia and Daf Tzadi Aleph Amid Aleph, parallel sugya, Rashi says you could prove from the fact that there's a shem esnan in this case that even when there's a ptura kimle bejab mine that can't be imposed by Beis Din, nevertheless there's a chiyav bidei shemayim to pay it. Okay, so you could prove from this case, the fact that there's a shame esnan, despite the chiyav misa, tells you that in every case of kimle bedrab mine, there's a chiyav bidei shemayim. That's why there's a shame esnan here. Beis Din can't enforce it, but the chalos exists. The Meiri in Bava Kama disagrees. He quotes the Chachmei Tzarfatim. Pashas, this is Rabbeinu Tam. The Meiri says, I quote, Lo amru ein adam meisu mishalem, ela bedavar haba derech nizikin. According to Miri, the only time you can invoke a Ptur Kimle is when there's some sort of Chiv Nezek. Because that's a Chiv that's imposed by the Torah, created by the Torah. When the obligation is something which you accepted upon yourself with your own consent, the Ptur of Kimle will never work. Okay, so the Rav here says, you see there's a category of Hischaivos Midas, which is treated on a different plane than the chiyuvim that are imposed by the Torah. Chiyuvim that are imposed by the Torah are subject to kimle. Chiyuvim that are incurred through your own consent are outside of that category, and mele not subject to kimle. Okay. Now in Shir, and the Rav also makes this extension. Yeah. Ah, kasha that the Rav didn't. It's kasha. Okay. Now, I think the bigger kasha here is whether this is actually a good raya. So what the Rav and what we're suggesting in Shir, what we're arguing, is that maybe this explains the whole category of Hodos V'Havos. You don't need Mumchin, because all the Beis Din is doing is simply enforcing a Chiv which you accepted upon yourself. Okay, so we don't need Mumchin for that. Okay, what do you think of this raya? No? It's a good raya, a good category for... Sure. Okay, so I think it's a very difficult raya to accept. A very difficult explanation. Because suppose, for example, the Beis Din is talking about a case where the Lovez is kofel legamri. He claims the halva never happened. And so here the Beis Din is gonna bring Edim, etc. And the Beis Din is gonna kind of impose this chiv based off the testimony of the Edim. Right? So it's not clear that in this case you have the consent of the Lova, and we're just imposing his own, what he agreed to. And here, on the basis of Edim, you're kind of reconstructing that there is a Chiyav altogether. Okay? So it's not so clear that in the case of Kimle Bejamine, we're saying that if you agreed to it and you accepted the Chiyav, so it's not subject to Kimle. Here we're saying that Beis Din will be the ones to impose the Chiyav. The Lova is actually claiming that he's part of the Gamri. But yet, we're going to treat it as a Chayvus Midah, since if you were Chayv, it was a Chiyav that you accepted upon yourself. Okay, so I think you could still take it as an explanation, but the case in which this distinction appears is much more persuasive than the case in which we're trying to apply it to. Okay. I mean, it's intuitive in Kimlay to distinguish between a chiv based off your consent and a chiv imposed by the Torah. It's far less intuitive to apply that distinction to a case where the lova is denying that he ever agreed to that transaction. Okay. This is the category of ischabes midas. The exact opposite category is the category of knasos. Well, here it's clear that there's no chiyuv which exists on the level of the interaction between the two litigants. Right? There's no agreement between them at all. Nor is there any one-to-one correspondence between the kind of tashlumin that you're going to pay and the actual damage or the actual agreement that took place. Okay. So what are the rayas to this idea? So here we brought six rayas to prove that knasos are a concept that are only imposed by Beis Din. They have no antecedent reality. The first raya is from the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Ayin Hei Amud Aleph. There the Gemara just takes it axiomatically that Moda B'Knas is Pater. Gemara says, Asher Yashuan Elohim Prat L'Marshiyah Es Atzmo. So that means that if the person who would be liable confesses to the Chiyuv prior to the court imposing it, he's going to be exempt altogether. Okay, so this is a clear raya that chiyuv doesn't exist prior to the Beis Din imposing it. A second raya comes from the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Samechei Mid Aleph. The Gemara there says, Amar Rav, Keren Kein Sheganav, Tashlum Ekeifu, V'Tashlum Edal Behe, Keshas Hamad Bedin. Okay, in a case of Gneva, where you're chayiv, a knas of either Keifu or Dal Behe. So we say that, let's say there's a change in the value of the object that was stolen from the time of the Gneva to the time that you're actually going to pay, to the time of the Hamad Bedin. So the Gemara says that the value of the Keren is fixed from the Shas HaGneva, okay, which implies that it's the act of theft which triggers that Chiyuv. The value of the Tashlume Kefal and Dalad Vehei is determined by the time of Hamad Bedin, okay, which implies that the Chiyuv is triggered by the Hamad Bedin itself. Is that clear to everyone? Yeah. A third raya comes from the Gemara in Bava Kamma and Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. Here the Gemara tells the story of Rabbi Gamliel, who was misame the Einei Tevi Avdo, which is grounds for freeing him. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Gamliel himself was so happy. He comes to Rabbi Yeshua. He says, "Ah, Rabbi Yeshua, you heard that Tevi goes free because I was misame Einav." And Rabbi Yeshua responds, "No, because you don't have any edim to prove that this happened." And we know that in Knossos, that's Prat L'Marshia Es Atzma. Okay, so you thought that he could go free based on your own admission. That's not true, because you need Edim in order to impose the Chiyuv Knas. The Gon here on that Gemara, Nagos Agra, he says, Kamash Mant, there's no Chiyuv Bidei Shemayim to pay up a Knas that's not imposed by Beis Din. Because if there was a Chiyuv Bidei Shemayim, then Rabbi Gamliel should have just said, well, I'm being Yotze Mechiyuv Bidei Shemayim and freeing him. On the side of the Gemara in Bava Kamma. His lashon is Kamash Mon Shaflatus Yidei Shemayim Ein Sorech. Because presumably Rabbi Gamliel's response would have been, okay, I don't have Edim, I'm not Chayiv to release him, but I have a Chiyuv Yidei Shemayim and I'm relying on that. Okay. The Goyen himself points out it's not clear, maybe there's a Yerushalmi that disagrees, but he thinks from the Gemara you could bring a Raya that without the court imposing the Chiyuv, there's no obligation Yidei Shemayim to pay. A fourth raya comes from the Rambam, or the Hasagas arrived to the Rambam in Hilchos Geneva, Perek Beis, Halacha Yid Beis. The Rambam there quotes a whole series of Ibai Deloif Shittas in the Gemara. So for example, the Gemara says, Ganav B'Shachat Eiver. Okay, so let's say you steal an animal, and instead of shechting it properly, you cut off one of its limbs. That's the din by Tavach U'machar is Dalad Behei. Right? But what's the din of Tavach Eiver? Gemara says by the lifshta. Or another example, the Gemara says, let's say you're a mocher b'chutz l'melachta. Now you sell the animal for some other purpose other than its usual purpose. So all these are by the lifshta. The Rambam says that we're not motziin, we don't force payment, but im tafas lo mafkinan. Okay, this is the psak of the Rambam. The Ravid's masig, and he says, quote, lo mechaverli. The tfisa mahanya beha. I think that tfisa won't work in these cases. The kiva the yotzer masha hiziku ain koach lechayvo el lebezdin uvedin pasuk below safek. According to the Ravid, the moment there's a suffix about this chiv, so Bezdin can paskin definitively, and with respect to Knossos, the moment you can't have a definitive psak, that means that there is no chiv whatsoever. Okay, so whereas in general we'll say that a suffix chiv entails a suffix chiv, when it comes to Knossos, a suffix chiv entails a vaday ptur. Because a suffix chiv means that the courts can't impose it. The courts can't impose it, and there's no chiyuv. So, male, according to the Ravid, there's no grounds for tfisa in cases of safek knasos. Okay. A fifth raya that we brought for this idea comes from the Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat Aleph Hey. Here we have a machlokes. According to the Shulchan Aruch himself, we say that even though we're not done dine knasos bizman hazeh, because we don't have smuchin. Okay, so it's also a case of tfisa, but it's not the earlier case, not the case of the Ravid. Right? The Ravid's case is a case where there's a suffik chiyuv. Here there's a vaday chiyuv knas, just we don't have any dayanim to impose it. So Shulchan Aruch says that fine, tfisa works. Tfisa ad kedei d'mea knas. So let's say someone steals sheep, istavachu machar, so you could be tofes dal behei, according to the Psak of the Mechaber. The tour in Choshen Mishpat Simen Shin Mem Tes quotes the position of the Rama, who disagrees. He holds that tfisa will never work for knasos yoser midmeh nezek. Okay. So, for example, let's say you have a case of palga niska knasa. Okay. So here the value of the knas is less than the actual nezek, so tfisa will work. But the moment that you have a knas that's yoser midmeh nezek, so then tfisa won't work anymore. Okay, so the way we suggested this in Shir is that in order to impose a knas above the damages, you need the bezdin to paskin it. Okay, the moment you don't have a bezdin, so there's no chiv whatsoever, and mela, there's no right to be tofes.
I thought you said there was a psak, there was just no bezdin to extract it.
There is a psak, a pi halacha, but there's no court to paskin because we don't have any mumchen.
So why is there a psak? Where's the psak?
Api halacha, meaning Api halacha. There's a din. So I'll say there's a din, but there's no bezdin to paskin for you. Okay. A sixth raya is brought from the Gemara in Makos Daf Hamed Aleph. Here the Gemara distinguishes between a case of hazama, where the edim zomin are made kodem. What is it? Case where the edim zomin testify prior to the litigant being chayiv. And a case where the Edom Zomim testify post the litigant being chayiv. Okay, what's this case? So let's say the Edom Zomim come on Sunday, and they says, Reinu Ploni she ganav tavachu machar. Then another group of Edom come, and they say, Lo chein, you were with us on Sunday, but we know that he ganav tavachu machar on Friday. Okay, it's prior to when you testified. So here, the first group, the Edom Zomim, they're exempt, because at the time that they testified, the Gabra was already a Bar Onesh. Okay, they already testified on somebody who was Chayiv, so their testimony didn't add any level of Chayiv. Okay? And the Gemara says, V'chein le'inyan Ritzicha. Okay, if the Edom Zomim testified the murder happened after when the other group of Edom claims the murder happened, so the Edom Zomim are exempt. So the Gemara here is actually discussing a case of Gemar Din. Okay, the Edom are testifying that Reinu Shenigmar Dino Shalploni Lemisa at this time. The Gemara distinguishes between cases of Knossos and Dino Nefashos on the one hand, versus cases of Stam Dine Mominus. Okay. It sounds like, for Stam cases of Dine Mominus, we don't care whether they're testifying about the act of the theft, or they're testifying about the Gemar Din. But for cases of Dine Nefashos or Dine Knossos, so we only care about the Shas Gemar Din. Okay? Is that clear to everyone, or is that not clear? Depends how familiar you are with the Gemara. Is that clear to everyone, or no? Not clear?
Well, within Nefashos, the second pair has to testify regarding the Gemar Din happened before.
Yeah, I mean, they're discussing when the Gemar Din happens. The first group of Edom testifies the Gemar Din happened on Sunday. Second group comes and says, it couldn't have happened on Sunday, you were with us, but the Gemara didn't happen on Friday. So in that case, the Edom Zomim are really exempt. Okay, because when they testified, the litigant was already chayiv. Okay? Fair? And if that equivalent scenario happened with respect to the Maisa Avera, the Edom Zomim would still be chayiv. Okay, so let's say the Edom Zomim testified, we saw the murder happen on Sunday, and then another group comes and they say, no, the murder happened on Friday. So in this case, the first group is chayiv. Why? Because it's not the Maisa Avera which determines whether or not the Gavra is Bar Ketila. It's the Gemar Din. However, in a Stam case of Dine Mamonis, we don't care when the Gemar Din happens, we care when the Maisa Avera happened. Okay, I hope that... Is that not clear to anybody? Kiva, is clear?
Yeah.
Crystal? Okay. So the Rishonim here want to know, what's the distinction between the categories? Toso says, it's because of Drisha v'Chakira. Okay. For Dine Nefashos and Dine Knasos, there's a huge impediment blocking the jump from a Maisa Avera to a Gemar Din. Okay. Oh, you want to claim that he murdered somebody on Friday? Okay, but Edom have to show up. We're going to be Dorish v'Choker them. In all probability, they'll be thrown out in the cross-examination. So you can't infer that he's Chayav Misa simply from the fact that you have testimony that he murdered someone. Whereas in Dine Mamonis, where we get rid of Drisha v'Chakira, the moment you have Edom who testified that he did a Maisa Avera, we could already infer that he's Chayav. Because nothing's blocking the testimony from entailing a punishment. Okay? That's Tosa's distinction. Rashi actually himself has a different explanation for the chiluk. Rashi says it's because in both the case of Nefashos and the case of Knasos, the litigant has a way of pattering himself. Okay, because Modi B'Knas is pater, and also Modi B'Nefashos is pater. Okay, huge chiddush of Rashi. Tosas goes crazy. Tosas says, well, you want to tell me that Modi B'Nefashos is pater? That means you murder somebody, and then you show up in court and you say that I'm chayiv, so now you've exempted yourself from the death penalty. Tos doesn't like that. Okay, so Rashi has an explanation that the distinction between Knossos and Nefashos is based off Modi B'Knas, Modi B'Nefashos. Tosas rejects it. Tosas says it has to do with Drisha V'Chakira. So both of those seem to be problematic. So Rekiv Eger jumps in and he says, I don't understand what everyone's worried about. I have a very simple solution. In the case of Dine Mamonis, objectively, a chiv exists from the time of the Maisa Avera. Okay, and Klape Shmaya Galya, that you have a chiv to pay. However, in a case of Dine Nefashos and the case of Dine Knossos, the Maisa Avera itself is absolutely inconsequential. Right? There's no chiv to pay Bidei Shemayim, there's no chiv to impose on yourself, unless the Bez Din imposes it. So therefore, when the Edom Zomim testify against somebody who did a Maisa Avera of Dine Mamonis, they're testifying against somebody who Klape Shmaya Galya is chayiv. In the case of Dine Nefashos, in the case of Dine Knossos, until the court imposes it, there's no chiyuv to talk about whatsoever. Okay? So these are the six rayos to the idea that Knossos are only imposed by the Bez. Any questions? Okay. So here we move to a third category, third area of halacha. This is the case of Gezelos. Now in Shir we were trying to pick out two basic properties of Gezelos which sets them apart from the Knasos on the one hand and his Chayvus Midas on the other. The first is that there's some criminal act for Gezela. There's a Maisa Avera in the act of theft. And the second is that there's some sort of kinyan which comes along with the Maisa Gezela. Okay, that the Gazlan becomes a quasi-owner in the chefetz that he steals. Okay, in Knossos, you don't have either of these. And there's no Maisa Avera per se, and there's no level of Bailos that comes along with the Chiyuv. So what are the rayas to the idea of a Maisa Avera characterizing the Gzela? So in our sugya itself, you can point to two Rashis. Rashi, first of all, on the commenting on the Mishnah, brings Vayigzel as Hachanis, a case of Chatifa, as the paradigm of Gezela. And moreover, even when Rashi discusses a case of Gezela through Kfira Bipikadon, Rashi seems to say that it's only Gezela if it's Kfira Bipikadon in conjunction with Shlichus Yad. Okay? Seems to be against the Gemara and Bava Kamma. But for now, right, the point that we were emphasizing in Shir is that even though technically it might be Gezela through Kfira alone, okay, Rashi emphasizes the fact that you need kfira in conjunction with shlichus yad. So you need some act of grabbing the object to be considered a gazlan. Tosos ksav yad pariz, tibir maschel dini, also on the Mishnah, they say, yeah, taka, there's no shame gazlan without shlichus yad. The Ritva in Bava Metzion, Chafvav Mebeis, okay, also dealing with this case of Shlichus Yad, the Ritva seems to suggest that even according to the simple Pshat in the Gemara, that you're considered a Gazlan simply by the act of denial, okay, by Kfira alone without Shlichus Yad, the reason why you're considered a Gazlan is because a Kfira in Bezdin is like a Maisa. Okay, so there's no, I guess, physical act of theft, but you are showing up in Beis Din and testifying that you didn't take the object, that itself is considered like a maisa of taking the object. Okay, so I guess it's a more legalized construal of a maisa gzela. Okay. Another example of this idea comes from Rashi and Bava Metzia Yidam Abeis. There the Gemara talks about a case of gzela through your chatzer. So the Gemara says that if an animal walks into your rishus, right, through your gagos and carpathios, you could be chayiv for gezel. So Rashi says it's a case where you're noel b'fanel. It's a case where the animal walks into your rishus and you lock the door in front of it. Tektzos and shimem ches beis is medayik that Rashi adds in this criterion of noel b'fanel because Rashi holds that the only way you can be chayiv is if you do a maisa aveira. Maisa gzela. You lock the animal into your rishos. If the animal stam wanders in and gets stuck there and you say, oh, I have kavana to keep it, that's not gezel. So you need the animal to walk in and you need a maisa gezel if you're locking the gate. Okay, so these are two examples. One Rashi in our sugya in Sanhedrin Daf Beis and one Rashi in Bava Metzia Daf Yud where we're focusing on the maisa gezela. And here we brought another raya. We brought the ktsos and shimem ches aleph. The Ktsos is discussing the case of Gozal Menas LeMekat. So it's a case where there's a Maisa Gzela, but with no intention to keep the object. Okay, so you steal, you just grab it, and you want to give it back. Okay, there may not even be any Hepsid. So in Shir, we were suggesting that this is considered Gneva, because we're not defining Gneva as Marviach B'Mamon Chavero. We're defining Gneva as a criminal act of taking that which doesn't belong to you. So since that's the Hagdara of Gzela, you could have a case of Gzela where you're not even causing any hefsid. You could have a case of Gzela where you're not even gaining. It could be concentrated in the act of theft alone. A fourth example that we were giving to this Yesod is a little weaker. It's in the Mordechai and Bava Kamma against the position of the Rambam. The Mordechai had held that you could be pasul eidos even through Nezikin. If you, you're an inveterate damager, so you could lose your nemanus legabe edus, because you're causing hefset to people. The Rambam is adamant that the only way you could lose your status as an aid is if you violate a rasha d'chamas. And we were suggesting in Shir that what distinguishes the case of Nezek from the case of Gezel is the criminal act of theft itself. Okay, in the case of Nezek, there's no criminal act. In the case of Gezel, the act of Gzela itself is considered a Rasha D'Chamas. Okay. What do you think of that distinction?
Seems very obvious.
You think it's very obvious?
Yeah, stealing's bad. Nezikin is an accident.
Okay, but not every case of Nezikin is an accident. Right? You could have cases of, say, if you intentionally burn down someone's property, arson.
Yeah.
Right, so That could be a criminal act, right? So, what? Yeah, in Forest Hills, right? There's all the Bukharians. Their houses are getting burned. Yeah, it doesn't seem to be Gzela, right? It's a case of Nezek, classic case of Nezek. What?
Maybe it's a
Maisa. Yeah, but it seems like it's not a Maisa there of... The way we're setting up in Shir is that specifically Gzela is defined by this kind of criminal act. But Nezek is not a criminal act.
Well, if he's an arson, maybe that is a criminal act.
But it doesn't seem like that al pi halacha. Right? What? Where? No, not. But we're not asking whether Nezek is usur. We're asking whether it's a criminal act, like a maisa avera.
Which
What?
It's possible for some action to be Asr and not be Asr.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, for example, there are tons of cases of... Yeah, tons of cases of Gezel or Asr, but that they wouldn't constitute a Maisa Avera. Oshek Schar Sachir. What? You talk about Pachos Mishal Pruzik, you talk about Oshek Schar Sachir. Because there's no act that you're doing.
Why?
There's no criminal act.
Why isn't taking the Shabbat...
You're talking about Shua's case? Take my case, Oshek Schar Sachir, you're just not paying him. So that's a classic case of Gezel, but there's no Maisa Gzela. Right, we're suggesting in Shear that there's something criminal about that Maisa itself.
But why does the distinction be... So it seems like your distinction is whether there's an action or not, right?
No, whether there's a...
Osik Sar Sachir probably would still say that's criminal. I'm not sure.
No, so that's the point. In Shear we're suggesting... We'll see this clear later on. We're suggesting that there are ways that you're violating the law of Osik Zol, but there's no Maisa Avera to create these kinds of Chiyuve Gzela. Okay, we'll come back to this. Okay, but this distinction in this case between the Shita of the Mordechai and the Rambam turns on an assumption that Nezek is never a criminal act, even if it would be Asur. Okay.
I'm still not convinced.
Look, you could say, let's say for example, you say like Reb Chaim that the Isser.
Unless you're just saying you can separate between when there's an act and when there's not an act.
No, we're not saying that.
So then I don't agree.
Look, in Shir, all the time we distinguish between a Pula and like a Maisa Avera. Alright, so what we would say is that those cases of Nezikin would be Pulos that are Asur. That you're not allowed to set fire to someone's property, but you're not dealing with a Maisa Avera.
Okay. No, sorry, I understand that point. I don't really understand how you would ever figure it out when there isn't a Maisa Avera. How do you know that someone damaging someone's property is not a Maisa Avera and not just a Pula?
So, how do I know, or how can it be known? I think in Shir we would say that it depends on like the halachos that govern that maisa. All right, so here we're kind of assuming that what characterizes gzela is this kind of maisa gzela. A ramification would be that you'd be pasul edus because rasha de chamas, and if you don't find that, i.e., like the shita Rambam, then you can infer that there's no real maisa avera. Right. Right, we're here. We're kind of like fixing the definition to be like a Rashi de Chamas here.
Okay. So this
is
only
to
convince me.
Fair enough. I think this is a very tenuous distinction, right? And I'm saying the way we've set it up in Shir assumes that you're not going to have this kind of Maisa Gzela for Nezikin either. Okay. I agree with you. I think it is somewhat vulnerable. Okay. So that's the first half of. Those are the rayos that we're dealing with, like a maisa avera within gzela. Oh no! Now you could object and say not rayos. All right. The suggestions. Okay. The second half of what characterizes gzela comes from the level of the kinyan that the ganav achieves in the chefetz that he stole. Okay. So for example, the gemara all the time says that shinoi is konet. One example is the gemara in Bava Kama on Yud Aleph Amid Aleph. The Gemara says, "Lo ein shamin, lo leganev, lo legazan el nizakin." Okay, and that means that if there's a change in the chefetz from the time of the theft to the time of the hashava, so we're not going to factor that in into the gazlan's ability to return it. Okay, so for example, in nizikin, if the chefetz which was damaged depreciates from the time of the nezek to the time of the tashlumin, doesn't matter. You can still give back the chefetz that was nizak, and you'll factor in that change of value. For gzela, we'll say that the ganav is kone the chefetz mishas hagneva. Therefore, if the value depreciates, the value of the chefetz depreciates before he returns it, the ganav is now chayiv to return an object with equal value. Okay, so for example, you'll say he steals a car worth $30,000. The value of the car changes before the tashlumin, it goes down to $25,000. So the ganav can't get away with simply returning the $25,000 car. Why? Tosus there explains, because he was kone the car with its value of $30,000 b'shas ganeva. Whereas in Nezikin, you'd be able to return the cheva. Okay. So what we're saying here is that the, because you have a kinyan, because you become a quasi-owner, mishas ganeva, so the value of the chiyuv hashava is determined from the moment of the kinyan. Okay, so this is one example. A second example comes from the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara there says, Gezav lonis yaishu abayelim shnei ben michom lakdisho. Zel fi she'enu shelo, v'zel fi she'enu bershuso. So in Shir, we were trying to show from this that you can see that there's competing levels of bailos between the ganav and the nignav. Right? Both of them are unable to be mocher or be maknet because both of their bailos is deficient by virtue of the kinyan of the other party. Okay. A third example, which we gave in Shir, again, this one's a little more controversial. The Gemara in Sanhedrin on Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, the Shita of Rav, that if someone's Bava Machteres and Ganav in that act, so Bidamim Kaninhu, that's kind of a Kimle Bidramine, and the Mele is Nachai B'Hashava. Okay, so in Shir we gave this as a case where you have such a strong Kinyan Gzela to the extent that you're even Potter from any form of Tashlumin. Okay, so normally the Ganav has a Kinyan, but he has a Chiv to return it. In certain extreme cases, the ganav could become the full owner to the extent that he has no obligation klape the nigzal. Okay, so those are three examples of the kinyan gzela. How does this relate to the chiyuv of having dayanim mumchin and gzelos v'chavalos versus hodas v'avos? So we're suggesting in Shir that look, to stam enforce a chiyuv mamon, so it's sufficient to have hedyotos, but in order to be mafkia the kinyane gneva, okay, to now change the bailos that was created through the maisa gneva, and B, in order to demonstrate that there was a criminal act of the maisa gneva, for this you need mumchin. Okay, in other words, you're not just recognizing a de facto status. The bezin actually now has to change the level of kinyanim that were created through the maisa. The fourth area of halacha which we discussed, and here I'll just give one quick example. This was the case of chavalos. Okay, so we're trying to show how chavalos differ from other cases of chiyuvim. And here we pointed to a chiluk of Reb Chaim and Huchos Toin Benita and Parakei Halacha Beis. The Rambam had paskins if someone is mazik karka, and the Toveya says that you dug two boros. The Nitva says, low key, I was only chofer one. Okay, so it should be a case of modim mitzas. The Rambam paskins that you're not chayiv any shvuah deraisa. Okay. Why? Presumably because ein nishbayin al karkos. Right, the masa matan here is about the damage to the karka. The Ravid disagrees. The Ravid points to a gemara about chavalta bishnayim. Someone says that you inflicted two wounds, and he says, lo ki ela achas. Mar says, you're chayv v'shvua modin mikzas. Okay, why? We should say that also, adam hukish l'karkos, and you should be exempt from shvua in that case as well. So the Ravid says, yeah, in both cases, you're chayv v'shvua deraisa. Okay, in the case of karkos as well, you're also chayv v'shvua deraisa, and the Raya is from the case of chavalos. Reb Chaim says, yesh l'chalik, because Rambam has to contend with this raya from Chavala, and Reb Chaim says, it depends how the chiyuv is triggered. For a case of nezek, what triggers the chiyuv tashlumin? The maisa avera itself. Okay, I can't say maisa avera. Okay, so that the act of damaging itself, the pula. Okay. What was the pula done on? Karkos. So since nezek is a form of reparation, you're repairing the damage that was done. So the whole masa umatan begins from the object that was damaged. In this case, karkos, and inish banal karkos. In chavalos, because the chiv tashlumen has nothing to do with the maisa nezek itself, okay, and the rationale we gave in Shir was that obviously there's no way of quantifying or setting a value for a chavala, you cut off someone's limb. So elamai, it's purely a kind of punitive damage. It's not a reparation. So here, the masu matan doesn't begin with the pu'ulas hanezek or pu'ulas chavala itself. That's irrelevant to the tashlumin. It begins really with the hamada bidin, the obligation to pay. And the obligation to pay bears no direct relation to the guf, so you don't have an exemption of ein nishba in al karkos. Okay. So Reb Chaim's main point here is that there's a fundamental difference between the nature of a chiv tashlumin for nezek versus the nature of tashlumin for chavala. For nezek, it's about the pu'ulas ha-nezek in the chefta itself, it's reparation. So the tashlumin takes on that character. Memela ein nishba in al karkos. For chavala, since there's no correspondence between the reparation and the damage, so the masa matan begins with the payment. The payment itself doesn't have an exemption of ein nishba in al karkos. Clear? Okay. So here too, we were suggesting that what's unique about chavala is in breaking this link between the act and the kind of compensation which is required. Okay, so this kind of brings it closer to the camp of knasos. The more that the bezdin is the one creating the chiyuv, the more you're going to require mumchen. Okay. So this is the basic overview of these different categories. Again, so we saw the categories of hischayvus midas, the categories of knasos, the category of gzela, which its two features are the maisa gzela and the kinyane gzela. And then this distinction within in chavala that the maisa nezek or the pu'ulas ha-chavala itself doesn't bear any relation to the tashlumen. Okay. Now in Shir we also pointed out that there are a lot of gray areas between these different classifications. Okay, so it's not like you could draw a neat line in between hischayvus midas, knasos, chivik zela, etc. Okay, what are some of the gray areas? So as one example, we gave the position of the Ravid in Bava Kamma on Tezayin, that palga nizka knasa, maybe it's a knas, but it's not subject to the normal dinum of knasos. Okay, so for example, even if modeh b'knas is going to be potter, modeh b'palga nizka knasa won't be potter. Okay? We saw a similar distinction already in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch held that similar distinction in the Yad Ramah quoted in the Tur, Shin Mem Ches, that even if Tfisa won't work for a Knas Yoser Midmei Dmehem, Midmei HaNezek, Tfisa will work for a Knas up to the Dmei HaNezek. Okay, so in the case of Haga Niska Knasa, Tfisa will work, even though for every other Knas it won't. So here you have an in-between case where it is a Knas, but it's not subject to the Dinam of Knasos. A third example we gave, and this one is a little weaker, is Tosos in Sanhedrin Daf Beis Amud Aleph, where Tosos says that the knas of Shloshim Shel Eved is not listed separately in the Mishnah because it's Bichlal Chavalos. Okay, so in Shir we were interpreting this as like a conceptual classification, that it's a knas, which is a form of a chavala. Okay, and Tosos could just be a Tosos saying that it's physically a case of chavala. But in Shir, we're interpreting it in conceptually. A fourth example that we gave, and this pertains to Geneva, is the Ktzos in Shimem Ches Aleph. There, the Ktzos says that Gozla Manas Lemekat will have an Isser Gezel without the Kinyane of Gzela, the Kinyane Gzela. In particular, the Ktzos says there won't be any Chive Onsen. Okay, so the Gana violates an Isser of Lo Sigzel, but he's not chayiv for any onsen that happened to the chayfats. So it's a case of geneva without having full dine geneva. A fifth case that we gave as this kind of a gray areas in between classifications is the Ravid in Bava Kamma Yud Aleph, where the Ravid there says that Shol Shalomidas, his 2 days whether Shol Shalomidas will have full kinyane geneva l'inyan the din of Shamin Peches. Okay? So you could have a case where it's a full Maisa Geneva, okay, maybe there's an Isser Gezela or an Isser Geneva also, but you're not going to have the Dinam of Kinyane Gezela that come along with it. Okay, so these are five quick examples that we gave in Shir to show that you could have borderline areas between the different halachos. Okay. The gray areas here are significant not just because they show that the classifications overlap, because now we're going to have to pose a second question. Suppose a certain case overlaps between two different classifications. So we might say that for different halachos, we'll treat this case differently. Okay, so for one set of halachos, it's a classic Zeila case. For another set of halachos, it's a classic Hischaivos Midas case. Okay. This becomes extremely relevant to our sugya on Daf Beis. Here we can give two examples. We mentioned earlier that Rashi in the Mishnah said that Kofar B'Pikadon requires Shlichas Yad in order to be a case of Gzela. Okay, and the Achronim point out, this is already pointed out by the Aruch HaNer, now this is in contradiction to the Gemara in Bava Kama Kofheim Beis, because the Gemara is explicit that Kofar B'Pikadon is a Ganav. Okay, you don't need Shlichas Yad. The Aruch HaNer himself says, oh, this Rashi is a Toh Sofer. Rashi didn't mean to say that you require Shlichas Yad. The Ran, also we know in our Gemara, the Ran disagrees. The Ran says that even without Shlichas Yad, Kofar B'Pikadon is a Ganav. Okay. The Rav in the Shirim here on Sanhedrin, and we quoted this in Shir, the Rav says, no. He says, Rashi agrees, of course, that Kfira B'Pikadon violates Lo Sigzo. And you're also Chayv in Onsen. But he says, but since there's no Maisa Aveira, there's no Maisa Gzela, you won't have full Kinyane Gzela. Okay, so you violate the Yisr, but you're not going to have full Kinyanim because there was no Maisa. With respect to the halacha of requiring Mumchin for Gzelos V'Chavolos, it's not sufficient that the litigant simply violated the Lav of Lo Sigzol. What triggers the Chiyuv of Mumchin for Gzelos V'Chavolos is the fact that we're undoing Kinyane Gzela. The interrelation between the Kinyanim of the different Bailim here is much more complicated. That requires Mumchin. Ah. So we have a case which is, in terms of Isser Veheter, it's a case of Lo Sigzol. But in terms of the adjudication, what kind of Dayanim you need for this case of Lo Sigzol, without Shlichas Yad, you won't need Mumchin. So that's why Rashi on the Mishnah, which is telling you a din about what kind of dayanim you need, Rashi tells you need shlichus yad. Then you acquire mumchin for those sigzol. But simply violating the maisa aveira without the kinyan, for that it'll be sufficient to have hedyotos. Okay, very sharp shot from the Rav. What? Things are chayv and onsen, but you have no kinyan exela.
What are the
kinyan
that are not?
This is a good question. He doesn't flesh out what dinim he thinks. Normally, we assume that onsen is one of the classic nafkamina of kinyanim, right?
Probably.
Maybe like shaman peches and things like that, which is not strictly onsen, but it would be maybe a form of kinyanik zela or mishalim, kishasa geneva, things like that. Okay. Here we can point to another example as well. Rashi on the Mishnah also said that kofar behava is not considered a gazlan, d'muvel hotza nidna. Right, because when you give somebody a loan, so the loan is meant to be spent, so simply denying that you receive the money is not considered gzela. Okay. Some of the Achronim ask, Rashi here seems to be Soser himself, Rashi in Gittin on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis says explicitly that Kofar B'Malve is a Ganav. Okay, it's a case where it's talking about Shemitah, and he says, it turns out that according to the... This is the question of Hefker Bezen Hefker, by Prusbel. It says, it turns out that because of the Chachamim, he's not repaying his Chov, and nimps that he violates Lo Sigzol. As you see clearly in Rashi, that refusing to pay up is a violation of Gzela. So what does Rashi here mean, that you can't have Gzela on a Milveh, because Milveh Lohotza Nitna? Avni Nezer poses this question, and he also asks, as Avni Nezer in Choshen Mishpat, in the Chuvus in the Choshen Mishpat Tzimin Aleph, he also points out the Gemara in Bav Mitzvah on Samach Aleph and Aleph is very clear that Oshek Schar Sachir is a form of Gzela, not paying your workers. Okay. Not paying your workers shouldn't be any worse than a Chov, right? Certainly Lohutza, it's your own money, you have a Chiv to pay him. There's no Pikadon. He says, what does Rashi mean that there's no Gzela for Milva? Avnei Nezer says this pshat that the Rav said later. He says, yeah, Vada he violates Lo Sigzol by simply being Makhish Sahava. But with respect to the dinim of Tashlume Gzela, for that, you require an actual chayfetz. So the lav of los tigzel is there. But if you want to talk about, is there some sort of payment for a ma'aseh gzeila, that you can't speak of. And with respect to the halacha of needing mumchin for gzeilos v'chavalos, it's not sufficient to have an aveira, an iser v'heter of gzeila. You actually need the kinyanim of tashlume gzeila. Okay, so in both of these rashis, you have the idea that the mumchin is not a function of the iser v'heter classification. It's really a function of how it's qualified, how the case is defined with respect to the kinyanim, or the role of Beis Din in adjudicating it.
That is why the answer says that you need Mavlut to be Mavlut Hatzan.
What?
You need the Mavlut to not be Mavlut Hatzan, just to have kinyanim, or just not?
Right, when you have Mavlut Hatzan, there's no such thing as Tashlume Gzeila. It's an abstract chiyuv.
But he says there's no kinyanim either?
He says there's no Tashlume Gzeila, that's the Lashon. Yeah, no Tashlume Gzeila. There's no such thing as reparations for stealing.
But that wouldn't
tell,
right? Because there's no
kinyanim. It's not clear. It doesn't seem that there are any kinyanim, because kinyanim are always with respect to the chayfetz that when you have kinyanim on the chayfetz. When you have no chayfetz, because mevul hatzan, it's not clear what you're talking about a kinyan on. Right?
Right, but I mean, for parallel reason that
there says
there would be
kinyanim,
there wouldn't be
a kinyanim. Correct. And especially the way my father was explaining it in Shir, is that the reason why we need mumchin is because you need to disentangle this kind of joint bilos. If we're talking about an abstract chiv to pay, there's no such thing as a joint bilos on that abstract entity. Okay. So I think this is very nice. This last point is like a very nice raya to the way that we were approaching this distinction between mumchin and hedyotos in shir. Because here it seems to be very clear that it's not so much a function of simply a pragmatic need for lotinol dalas pifnei lovin, nor is it necessarily a function of Chumras Adin, or it might be. But it definitely leans closer in the direction of Shir, that it's all about the level of Kinyanim and Bezdin's role in redividing the assets that are under discussion in the case.
Can we try to shim this reason Rashi with like the Rashi of Gemara, about being about
Hesed? No. And we had a different approach about that in Shir, about how they relate. Between this and Ishtamute Kamishtamid in Bar Mitzvah. Okay. But those don't bear on this broader question of the nature of the Dayanim in this court case. Okay, so this is my overview of the distinction between Mumchen and Hedyotos. We'll pick up, I'm going to try to do early next week, but I'm not sure if it'll work out. But our next Chazar will be on Shlichus Sayu. Okay? That'll be our next topic. Okay.